right, if you will, turn in your Bibles over to 1 John, the first epistle of John. Chapter 4. Message today is going to be basically the same message I preached over at Conyers on Tuesday evening, and it's going to be, our text is going to be the 19th verse of this fourth chapter of 1 John. We're going to begin reading in verse 6 and read down to the end of that chapter. John is the apostle of love. John talks about the love of God, the love of Christ, and the love of God's people towards God and Christ more than any other of the apostles. And if you've ever read this first epistle of John, and I'm sure that most or all of us have read it and probably read it many times, some of us, you cannot help but be struck with this idea of love, this truth of the love of God towards his people, and consequently the love of the people toward God. And we're going to see that as we go through these verses of Scripture. It says, we are of God. This verse 6, chapter 4, 1 John. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's a pretty simple test, isn't it? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his own begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I want you to mark that word toward us there, toward, the term toward. It says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. And again, mark the word two there. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Are you getting tired of love? No. You love it, don't you? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, now here's a powerful statement. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And I said that verse 19 would be our text. How many of you have known this verse for a long time? Most of us, or all of us, except maybe these little ones, have known this verse of Scripture for almost forever, haven't we? What does it say? We love him because he first loved us. We have quoted it, we've read it, we've quoted it over and over and over again. But I want us to think about it today. Sometimes that's our problem. We read verses, but we don't really think about them. We don't really meditate on them. We were going over to Conyers the other day. Of course, I'm casting about, all had been ever since I decided that we would go, casting about, well, what am I going to preach? That's always the question, isn't it? It's always the question, what am I going to preach? What would God have me to preach? And it's not just a matter of having something to say. It's a matter of what God would have us to preach. And he brought this verse of Scripture to my mind, and as I meditated upon it as we drove along, the more and more I thought about it, the more I decided, this is it. This is what God would have me preach. But I believe it'd be profitable for us today, too, here in this place. Now, here's the thing. We love God because he first loved us. The first thing that comes to my mind is that this little, how short is this? It's only 8 words, but it is, I believe, one of, if not the most, concise description of the relationship between God and his people. It's about as simple as you can get. And yet it is so concise, and yet as I meditate upon it, it is so profound. It is so profound. But now, also, I find in this statement a positive statement. Is there anything negative in this statement? Not one thing can you find in it that's negative. We love God. Is that negative? You can't find anything negative in that. It is positive. And it's because that God first loved us. How wonderful. And when I think of this, I think of the Apostle Paul's statement in the second letter to the Corinthians. He just said it didn't come preaching yea and nay, but just yea. For all the promises of God in him are what? Yea and amen. They're positive, right? Is that the sovereignty of God? That is the sovereignty of God. He will do what he purposes to do. He will do all of his pleasure. And who is going to say unto him, what doest thou? Or stay his hand. That's sovereign grace, people. And we love it. And so it's a positive statement. but it's also an absolute statement. And I want us to really bear down our thoughts upon this, that it's an absolute statement. What do we mean by absolute? There's no variance in it, right? But that's who our God is, right? I mean, He is the Father of lights, right? And what comes down from the Father of lights? Every good and perfect gift, and in Him is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. That's about as absolute as you can get, isn't it? But isn't this statement that we love Him because He first loved us? Well, if there's no ifs, ands, buts, and maybes, it's not that we might love Him, right? We do love Him. But let's look at these verses, this verse here. Let's look at the words. It says, we. Who is the we that is there, that He's talking about there? First of all, it includes John, doesn't it? He is the one that's writing this, and he says, we. He includes himself, but he includes many others too. But you know, we need to know that we are the children of God, right? Can we know that we are the children of God? The Apostle Paul said, right, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. We go back to this morning, right? Philippians 1:6. Having this confidence. Having this confidence. So who is the we that he's talking about here? Well, it's the we, it's the same we that's over here in chapter 3 of this same epistle. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It is the same people that is talked about, that Peter talks about, when he says that God is not, that God is long suffering to usward, right? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Brother Dale, you and I were talking about that earlier. If one of those we's failed to be found in heaven at the last, then the travail of his soul hasn't satisfied him. But that's not what our Bible says, is it? It says just the opposite. He shall see the travail of his soul and be what? And be satisfied. Aren't you thankful today that you know this God? Aren't you thankful if you can include yourself as John included himself in the we? What more could you ask for? Who is the we then? It's the same we that is found in John 6:37, right? For all that the Father give unto me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. It's the same ones that Christ is talking about down through verse 44 when he says three different times, and I will raise him at the last day. This is the we that we're talking about here, that John is talking about here. First, he's talking about himself, and then he's talking about all of those for whom Christ died. But how do we know? Well, let me just go to the next word then. It not only says we, but he says we love. You notice this. We love God, or we love Him, because He first loved us. But we love. Right, Bruce? He's not saying we might love Him, right? He's not saying that we may even love Him. He's not saying that we could love Him. He simply says, we love Him. How do you know? What does it mean? What does it mean to love Him? Well, I try to use these few things like this as an illustration. Some people have an interest in Christ. Some people have an interest in God. But there's a big difference in having an interest in Him and loving Him. For instance, Christ healed 10 lepers, right? 9 of those lepers, I have no doubt that they had an interest in Christ. Don't you think? I mean, they were interested in the fact that He could heal their bodies. They were interested in Christ, but one of them loved Him. How do we know? Because He came back and fell down and He worshiped Jesus. There's multitudes of people today that have an interest in Jesus, but they don't love Him. What about Simon that invited Jesus for supper? Simon had him in for a supper, but he didn't anoint his head. He didn't wash his feet. He gave him no kiss, right? Simon was interested in Jesus. Don't you think? Otherwise, he wouldn't have invited him to that supper, right? But Mary loved Him. She anointed Him with precious ointment, right? And she washed His feet with her tears, and she wiped His feet with the hairs of her head. Can you see? Do you see the difference there? And Christ indicted Simon because of that, right? Simon had an interest in Jesus, but Mary loved Him. You know, those people, all that horde of people, that mass of people that Jesus fed with the loaves and the fishes that are recorded for us, for instance, in the 6th chapter of John again. All of those people, they followed Jesus. They wherever He was going, they followed Him. They went to great pains to follow Him. They had an interest in Jesus.
But his disciples loved him. How do we know this? Because when Jesus said to that crowd of people, "Ye must eat of my body and drink of my blood, else ye have no part in me," what was their reply? Oh, it's a hard saying. Who can hear that? But then they went away, right? And my Bible says, and followed him no more. So much so that Jesus asked those disciples, "Will ye also go away?" But oh, what a wonderful answer. And this is the answer of those that love him. "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Do you just have an interest? Are you here today just because you have an interest in Jesus? Or are you here because you love him? Take up your cross and follow me. Do we have just an interest in him? The world is full of people that have an interest in Jesus, an interest in God. But folks, many are called, but few are chosen. No, God's people, we love. That's not an option in there, is it? That is an absolute, positive declaration. John says, we love him because he first loved us. Now, then the next word is him, right? We love him. That term him is a singular term. We don't love anybody else. We don't love anything else. We love him. Now, someone says, "But wait a minute. We are supposed to love one another." Yes, we are. But, you know, the same thing is true here in the opposite direction as it is in Psalm 51. You remember what David said there? He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." David, how can you say that? It is simply because that God is the source of all things, right? He is the source of righteousness. He is the source of justice. He is the source of holiness. And if we sin, yes, we may sin and do sin against one another, but it's first and foremost against God. When you sin against your brother, when I sin against my brother, my sister, whatever, it's always against God. He's the one. If I weren't sinning against him, I wouldn't sin against you. You understand? It is as long as I love God with a perfect heart, I'm not going to sin. When we love him, then, when we love one another, it is because why? Because we love him. The truth of the matter is, you see, there is no pure love, real love, true love, except that which is of God. We read that in our text too, didn't we? For God is love. So the only source of love is him. And so in that sense, we love him. Now, if we love him, then we will love one another. Get the priorities straight, right? To love God is to love one another. And after all, isn't that the fulfillment of the law?
Yeah.
What's the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. What's the second one? Well, it's like unto it. Shall love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. So we love him. But there's a reason for that, isn't there? There is a because. We don't love him outside of him. We love him because. Now, this is where the Arminian gets it all wrong. He confuses cause and effect. That's why they misunderstand John 3:16. And sometimes, it really boggles our mind how we could misunderstand John 3:16. Except that we take it out of its context. Because if you leave it in its context, it's perfectly clear. But the Arminian sees something of the effect. What is it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the effect. But it's not the cause. The cause is because he first loved us. Now, yes, Christ explains it in the context, right? He tells us plainly there. He told Nicodemus plainly there, ye must be born again. It's that simple. But if we are, if God has loved us, it is impossible not to love him. It's just not possible for a person to be at enmity with God if God has loved him. And so our text says, here's the reason we love him. It is because he. Now we're back to the singular again, right? We includes all of us that love him But it's only because that he again, we're reminded then of the covenant that God made with His Son, right? And He said, not unto seeds as unto many, but what? But under His seed as unto Jesus Christ. That's all. He. Now, you see, again, it won't matter how much I love you or how much you love me. You see, it won't matter how much we love our children, our grandchildren, our husbands, our wives. It doesn't matter how much we love one another. The question is, does He love you? Or as the apostle says, after ye have known God, or rather, after ye are what? Known of God. The question, does He love you? Does He love me? Does He love us? And by the way, who did Christ die for? The elect. He died for the church, right? And the we is the church, right? Now, it says that we love Him because He first loved us. It is God's love toward us that counts. We love Him because He first loved us. Now this first here isn't first in order. It is first before. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 5? For while we were yet sinners, who did Christ die for? The ungodly. There is the first. What devotion this ought to bring forth from us, knowing that even when we were in our sins, when we were ungodly, God loved us. Now, I sometimes try to emphasize this, And I believe it's a necessity that we understand it. God had no love for me. So what do you mean? I mean there was nothing for God to love. If there was something in me that provoked God's love or demanded God's love, then what? I deserve a little glory, don't I? But the fact of the matter is, it was God's love to us. It was God's love toward us. It wasn't God's love for us. The Arminian, again, he loves to harp on that. How God had this love for us. No. He had love to us. But people, isn't that the same principle that we are to, by which we are to love one another? According to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 35 there? What is it that he says? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Now that's the way it usually is stated. But that's not what it says, is it? No. If you have love one to another. You see, it really doesn't matter whether you love me or not. It's whether I love you that has a profit as far as I'm concerned. I'm glad today that God first loved me, that he first loved us. And that's what it says. We love him because he first loved. Oh, he did. He sent forth his love in the form of his Son. Who left the glory above. Remember in our text in John 17, the Savior's, in his prayer, he said, He petitioned the Father to restore that glory which he had with him from when? From the beginning. And in Philippians chapter 2, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is verse 5. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This was the love that God had toward us. If God had waited on us to have something whereby we might deserve, he would still be waiting. But not so. Before. He loved us before we loved him. We could turn that verse around, couldn't we? And we could say, because God first loved us, we love him. But John is stating, he's showing forth the salvation that God has brought to us when he said, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Now, we're back to where we started, aren't we? The we of the beginning of that verse is the same as the us at the end of it, and the us at the end of it is the same as the we at the beginning of it. We love him. Here's the question. Do you love him? If you do, it's because he first loved you. If you do not love him, then what? You don't know whether God loves you. Now, if you are an elect, the time will come when you will love him. But until you love him, you do not know that he loves you. And if you do not love him, or if he does not love you, then what? Well, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. If God doesn't love you, then it's he hates you. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. Arminianism notwithstanding, it doesn't matter. God, you must know that God loves you first. How many people are there that are saying that God loved me, but they leave out the first? And they leave out the evidence. The evidence is that we love him. Now, quickly, let me just close by saying this. We always love God. Sometimes that love waxes, and sometimes it wanes. In other words, sometimes there is a greater manifestation of that love, and sometimes there's less manifestation of that love. I'm talking about toward God. Now, God's love towards us is what? It is constant. Again, it never wavers, does it? In him is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. He has loved us in Christ, as he has loved us in Christ, he has loved us forever, for always, and to the utmost. But our love, and thankfully, again, God's love never waxes and wanes. It is always the same. But ours does. But now, we always love him. We do not love him today and not love him tomorrow. We always love him. Thank God that the manifestations of that love do not determine our salvation, but rather it is the constancy of God's love, and yet it is the manifestations of that love that give us the confidence that we do love him. In John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." Aren't you glad? But nevertheless, we do always love him. Our verse doesn't say we sometimes love him or oftentimes love him or most times love him. It just says we love him, period. And it's because he first loved us. Now, again, the opposite is true. You see, that there is a comparison or a contrast. You see, how sinful is man? How many Hitlers and Stalins and those kind of people, how many of them are there in the world? That's it. Now, Brother Dale and I were talking earlier before the service had started, and he was going over in Ephesians chapter 2, where the apostle says, we were the children of what? The children of wrath. The children of wrath. But you see, the reason that there everybody doesn't act like Hitler or Stalin or Pol Pot or Idi Amin or how many others are there that are manifest today, the reason everybody doesn't act that badly is not because the principle of evil and sin and iniquity is not in them. It's simply because the manifestations of it haven't gotten to that degree yet. Sir?
It did once.
It did once. But by the same token, you see, we always love. The sinner is always a sinner. He's never good, right? Read the third chapter of Romans again. But the manifestations of that sin sometimes are greater than they are at others. But our love, we love him because he first loved us. I would to God that the manifestations of that love were to the highest degree at all times, but I know that's not going to be. But we do grow, right? We grow in grace as we grow in knowledge. And the more that we grow in that, the greater will be the manifestations of our love. We love him because he first loved us.